So I'm here in a quieter venue at the moment. This is actually a hotel that's been turned into a theatre space. So we're in Edinburgh Fringe territory. We're in a great venue run by Sweet Venues and Air Swimming by Charlotte Jones. Billed as a poignant comedy about two forgotten women, has just had a highly recommended review on Fringe Review. Reviewer really rated it. So I'm delighted to be joined by Stephanie. You can tell us your name.
Hello, I'm Stephanie Goodfellow and I'm directing Air Swimming.
So Air Swimming is already an intriguing title. Without giving too much away about the story, tell us about how that came about.
Indeed, yes, it is one of the main sort of motifs in the play about two women who are locked up in an asylum for 50 years. And during that time, to sort of escape the drudgery and the isolation, they create a fantasy world and alter egos. And in this fantasy world, they go air swimming, basically, which is sort of part of this, the idea that they're using their imaginations and everything that they can to survive the experience.
I guess that's resonating with me as somebody that's read the likes of Václav Havel and some of the Prisoners of Conscience, who also talk about how when they were in solitary confinement for years, in some ways, horrible as though that is, it sort of awakens something that's latent in us in terms of our imagination.
Yes, indeed. And what this play does so beautifully is, while it doesn't shy away from the subject of madness, because the women are locked up in an asylum for the criminally insane, perhaps the reasons for their incarcerations are somewhat dubious, and you know, does comment on the treatment of women at the time, and also the treatment of the poor and the disadvantaged and the dispossessed at that time. But what it does do, as you say, is that it gives an insight into how the interior human psyche works, and it doesn't shy away from the subject of madness. It does sort of touch on that, and the question of what is sanity and what is insanity. But you're right in that it really is about the sort of the triumph of the imagination and the capacity that we have as human beings to endure.
You're called the Weird Sisters, and weird has become a little bit of a cliche nowadays to describe all sorts of things, but weird actually is a very specific word as well that goes into that realm, even in physics, of you know, the unknown, the unexplained, the off-kilter, the surreal. So is there something in this that's also the hallmark of your work?
Very much so, very much so. We were here last year with Martin Crimp's Fewer Emergencies, which is also a very surreal piece. And that is something that we're particularly interested, not least because it allows us to use contemporary theatre techniques and the kind of blending and merging of various art forms, which I think really is ideally suited to the surreal. Our name is a direct reference, obviously, to the three witches in Macbeth, or the Weird Sisters in Macbeth, and it also, I think, touches on the idea of the sort of the marginalised, particularly the role of women in the world and in the arts as well. And there are three of us, so you know, it seemed to suit.
But people often just use that word as a throwaway term now for what they just don't get, or with a slight air of intolerance, whereas here in your work you're using it as a virtue.
Yeah, very much so. And it's exciting, and I think it's an important role of theatre to explore difference and to, you know, encourage an understanding of what is marginalised or unusual or, as you say, alien and misunderstood. And we certainly like to explore that in all elements of our work.
I can imagine what that unlocks for a writer who gives himself permission to be weird in that sense. What does it create as possibility in the rehearsal room, in the devising chamber?
It gives a wonderful freedom, and particularly in air swimming, for example, we it allowed us to create a world that's way beyond the reality, although this is very much set in a particular time and place. It also goes far beyond the natural and the normal and the usual, and that's what's very exciting about the rehearsal process for a show like this, is that we there are no boundaries, and it does mean that we can use our imaginations and have that sort of freedom to do what we want, which is very much how we like to work as part of the process, to devise a world and create a world.
I guess I'm asking you both as artistic director and director then, because there are boundaries too. There's a 50 or an hour slot, you know, there's an audience size, there are certain expectations. When do you have to make judgments around, well, actually, we can't, that's not going to work, or no, you know, where does no fit into a world of weird theatre?
It's, well, as you say, we're confined by time slot, by size of venue, by the space that we're working in, and what we do is not least because the show has to be, in practical terms, the show has to be portable. We have to carry it on our backs, almost literally at times. So we strip it right down, and rather than creating the world through setting and staging and lighting, we create it through movement and voice and the interaction of the actors and the characters. But the limitations I don't find are restrictive or reductive. Again, it gives a certain freedom because we're not confined by a particular set that requires us to move and behave in a certain way. So, you know, the Peterbrook empty space and the theatre of poverty is something that, you know, is ideal for us, and obviously for fringe festivals, where, you know, when one's travelling around and so moving your world around with you.
And kind of onto a gender topic, really. In having seen a lot of fringe work, there are lots of all male and all female comedy groups. There aren't that many all-male theatre companies, but there are quite a few all-female. What specifically, you know, is the texture in the rehearsal room again, and in the decisions you make that opens up possibility by only being women in a group?
I think it does mean that there is a focus on a feminist element, which is our mission. What part of our mission is to create exciting work for women and about women, and I think the female voice has somewhat been historically somewhat marginalised in the arts, and that is being addressed, and you know, there's an exciting kind of shift, but it does mean that we do focus in on what is important in the feminine voice, which is obviously what we want to do and something we want to sort of encourage.
Now, in terms of that choice, there's a lot of theatre that would then choose to go, I'm going to say, hopeless and dark, and take people to the place of suffering and leave them there, whereas you're billing this as an uplifting story.
Very much so, yeah, very much so. And the despite the sort of somewhat bleak setting and a very difficult, dark theme of incarceration and loneliness. But what's so beautiful about Air Swimming is that it manages to blend that with a sublime sort of thread of comic surreality. The message really is uplifting because it does reach beyond the bleaker elements to something, as we talked about earlier, the capacity of the imagination and our ability to be excited by the world around us and by our own imaginations and our own creativity. So there's a lot to laugh at and laugh about and laugh with in the play, which the audiences so far, who have been fantastic, have really responded to that. And it seems to manage to tread a fine line between the tragic and the comic, which of course is, you know, very much an expression of the human condition. tradition and of life itself.
Well, I'm also wondering, you know, with the writer Sherry Turkle, who wrote books like Alone Together and recently Reclaiming Conversation, that even in an age where we're more technically connected more than ever with social media, we're actually more isolated from each other. Do you think that people are responding to this because more than ever now people, they crave real friendship?
Absolutely, absolutely. And this show does touch upon what happens when that community and society is removed, and how important that is. And as you say, you know, it is fundamental to our emotional and psychological well-being and our cohesion as a society to have that community-based activity and to learn how to be in the same room as each other, you know, which, as you say, it can be difficult in the way we choose to live these days. But this play shows the significance of that and shows how that can help one survive the hardships, whatever they might be.
I'm a little, I'm not quite sure what insect, but I'm sitting on your shoulder in your rehearsal room. What do I see?
A very collaborative process, certainly. We know each other very, very well now. We work very closely together. And we spend a lot of time laughing, being silly, playing, but all of that feeds into a really positive working relationship. It's an exciting process, but it's also really challenging. So you'd also see a lot of sitting around debating, thrashing out problems and working through ideas. Again, working out how to collaborate, how to be in the same room as each other and make it a functioning sort of process. But generally, it's great fun. And there's a lot of coffee as well, which always helps.
And when you're seeing it live and, you know, alive on tour, what are you restless about still?
For me, it's so easy to see the imperfections. I'm actually closely involved with the technical side of this show as well. So it's quite a sort of multi-rolling task that I've got at the moment, which I find quite frightening. But for me, it's always what we could do next, how we can evolve the piece. And this is the first time we've produced a show. So it's very much a testing ground, but I'm really pleased. It feels very coherent. It feels very complete, but I'm always looking to tweak and help the girls evolve, particularly because it's such a challenging piece for the pair of them. So we're still finding out about the characters. We're still learning about the characters, which is exciting. Again, you know, it just shows how full the piece is.
And I'm not really seeking messages, but what have you learned about friendship?
That it is probably the most important thing to help one survive this life. it's how we get by. It's how we cope, and it enriches one's life so much. The relationship I have with my colleagues is incredibly important to me, and working together and creating that friendship, because you do have to be friends to work together in this sort of industry. So yes, it's fundamental, I think, to all of us.
So just 50 metres from the sea here at the suite venues at Drury's Inn, I've been talking about air swimming with Stephanie. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you so much.